the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, March 13th. We're so happy you're tuning your heart to the truth with us. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. You are listening to Wake Up on this Thursday in the octave of Easter.
Yes, it is. And we're going to get into a lot of different things today. Today's an exciting day. We're going to tell you more in a little bit. But right now, we always start off with a prayer.
We do. Let's begin in the name of the...
And St. Martin the First.
The First.
Not the Poor's.
That's right. The First.
Okay.
We'll learn more about him in our Franciscan Media Saint of the Day.
Okay.
Find out how he's the first, when he's, what his time period's from.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O God, who have united the many nations in confessing your name, grant that those reborn in the font of baptism may be one in the faith of their hearts and the homage of their deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Martin the First, pray for us. Well, we have a great show for you this morning. We'll talk to our very talented friend, Jacob Zumo. He is a Catholic artist. He'll talk about his Saints by Number event that's coming up very quickly. We're going to also be joined by another famous person, Father Leo Padalinghug. Everybody knows him, right? He's the cooking priest. It'll be fun to have a conversation about Father Leo. He does so many wonderful things, but he has a new book, and we'll share that with you. It's Dining with the Saints, a Sinner's Guide to the Righteous Feast. So that should be great. David Dawson Jr. joins us. He is the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, and he always shares little marriage and family tidbits with us. So that'll be a great conversation Damian will have with him. And Ian Murphy, he's a Catholic author and speaker, and he's talking about his new book, The Road to Self-Awareness. Great story about Ian's healing, and looking forward to talking to him. Yep.
All right. Well, weather-wise, it's been on again, off again as far as rain is concerned. Rain chances today about 30%, which isn't bad, but boy, the folks along the Mississippi and Alabama Gulf Coast and even in Florida, they have been getting deluged overnight, and it should start clearing up a little later on this morning. As I said, it'll minimize to about 30% once it clears up. Should be good the rest of the day and even into Friday. The high today is 70, the low 55. Winds currently out of the northwest at 5-10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, it's going to warm up to 83 degrees. That's going to be our high. Winds are going to shift from to the southwest at about 5-10 miles an hour. And for the weekend, 80% chance of rain on Saturday. That's the bad news. It's not going to look good for the French Quarter Festival that day. You better bring a poncho and an umbrella and whatever else. Sunday, though, it's going to be real nice. 75 degrees, but a little breezy with winds blowing out of the northwest at about 10 to 20. Temperatures in and around the area, Houma-Thibodaux and Covington, both reporting 60 degrees. Biloxi, it's 58, Baton Rouge, 61, and in New Orleans, 63. And those poor folks over in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, had to close the airport yesterday afternoon around 4. Supposedly won't open until around noon. 25 inches of rain in 24 hours. Everything around the airport is flooded. Can't get in, can't get out. But it's going to get better. And it looks like LSU in Kentucky, they'll be able to play their game tonight and tomorrow. Saturday, not so sure. And the Pelicans lost to the Thunder last night, 123 to 118. So they're out of the NBA. Chances of even getting anywhere. They're done with playoffs. We're not done. We're just getting started on Wake Up.
Blessed Thursday within the Easter Octave. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 24. The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way, and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus' appearance in today's gospel occurs when the two disciples returning from Emmaus were recalling their encounters with Jesus. The Lord greets them with the blessing of the peace of God that comes through his death and resurrection. The startled and terrified apostles think they were seeing a ghost. After challenging their lack of faith, Jesus demonstrated his bodily resurrection in three ways. First, he advised them to use their sight. "Look at my hands and feet," showing them the marks of the nails from the crucifixion. In this way, they confirmed that it is Jesus himself, for the marks show the continuity between Jesus' crucified body and his risen body. The second proof involves another of their senses. "Touch me and see." And in this way, they can feel that he is made of flesh and bones and not a spirit. St. Ignatius of Antioch, writing around the year 107, cited this event to defend the truth of Jesus' bodily resurrection. Then Jesus followed up with a third demonstration of his resurrection. He asked for something to eat and received a piece of baked fish in their presence. The doubt of the apostles buttresses the faith of future Christians. For St. Augustine says, "The resurrection seemed incredible, and they had to be persuaded of the truth of it, not only by their eyes, but by their hands too, so that through the bodily senses, faith might come down into the heart. And faith coming down into the heart might be preached throughout the world to people who neither saw nor touched and yet believed." In the next part of the scene, Jesus instructs his disciples about the fulfillment of the scriptures and then announces their future mission. They were called to be witnesses of his life, death, and resurrection. And they will be given power to fulfill their mission as they preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Happy Thursday, everyone. And right now on the phone with us is Jacob Zumo. He is a local Catholic sacred artist, and he's here to talk about an event coming up on Saturday. Saturday, 80% chance of rain. It won't be able to do anything outside. Well, you can go to Jacob's studio, right? Because you've got a great event.
Good morning, Jacob.
Jacob, you there?
Good morning.
Hey,
good
okay.
Morning. How are y'all?
No, just making sure. Okay.
For the intro. Sorry.
Hey, so tell us, what is Saints by Number? Painting Saints by Numbers, yes.
Yeah, Saints by Number is a little idea me and Father Josh had years ago, and we finally organized it to... it's almost turned into a retreat. So it's about 3 or 4 hours, and we serve lunch. We serve a little wine, and Father Josh comes and talks for about 10 to 15 minutes about whatever topic we choose, and then we casually paint. So it's just an easy evening. It's it's just another Catholic event that's a time for us to come together with some fellowship and learn a little bit about whatever topic we choose, whether it's a saint or the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And just a lax evening where we can, love on each other, learn, and have some fun. Nothing too serious. So.
Yes,
and
well,
you get to leave with a work of art.
Exactly. Right? That's what I was going to say. You get to leave with the masterpiece that you paint, not you personally,
right.
But under how I was thinking, how many artists like yourself take the time to work with individuals? What a gift you're giving back. And to the people, now you're saying evening, but it's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. this time,
right.
This Saturday,
yes.
Right? At your studio.
Yes, sir. So, we paint, and some people, they've walked in, and they're like, I don't think I can paint that. And I said, well, give me a couple hours, and we'll see what we got. And we did the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the first class, and I joked with the folks that came. I said, some of the ugliest hearts are the closest to Jesus. So we have fun.
Well, the Holy Spirit is the theme this time around. Tell us real quick, where do they go to sign up, and what does it cost?
It'll be on my website under recent events, and it'll be the painting class, and it's $100 per head and $180 for a couple, so you save a little bit if you come with, you can bring your child. There's no age limit. Just for the cup of wine, you have to be 21, but we're not limiting it to adults. So if you want to bring a daddy-daughter date or a friend, that's a way to kind of save a couple bucks and have a cool little evening.
So. And all the paint supplies, everything's provided, as you said, lunch, drinks.
Right.
And you can even do a self-guided tour of your studio.
Right.
Where's it located, Jacob? Tell everybody how to get there.
It's 9530 Interline Avenue. So it's on I-12 near Costco, but across the interstate.
Yeah. So you can see it actually from the interstate, but you exit Airline Highway and then you take a quick U-turn onto Interline and you're right there.
Right.
Hey, just put in the address and you'll find it again. Go to jzumo.com and look for special events and you'll be able to sign up that way. Jacob, best of luck to you. Thanks for giving back.
Thank you, guys.
All right, my man. It's 15 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Don't go away. We've got more on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 13th. Today we celebrate Pope St. Martin I. Today's saint paid with his life for refusing to submit to the authority of the Roman Emperor in matters of church doctrine. As soon as he was elected pope in 649, Martin I was on a collision course with Emperor Constans, who insisted he had full authority to settle church disputes and theological questions, as well as political issues. One of Martin's first acts of independence was having himself consecrated without the overt approval of the emperor. Next, Martin called a council in Rome to confront and condemn a popular heresy, which held that Jesus had no human will. Constans was enraged and had Pope Martin arrested. Already in poor health, Martin was forced onto a ship to Constantinople. There he was imprisoned and tortured. He was finally condemned to death, but saved from execution following an appeal by the Bishop of Constantinople. Instead, Martin was exiled to Russia. 18 months later, in 655, he died from starvation and ill treatment. His successor, Pope Eugene, was elected while Martin was in exile. Martin I is the last of the early popes venerated as a martyr. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. We're so happy you're with us this morning on Thursday in the octave of Easter. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado.
Yes.
And David Dawson Sr.
And we were hoping to have Father Leo on, but we're having trouble getting a hold of him. But that's okay, because it makes way for David Dawson, our general manager here at the radio station. He has some news he wants to share anyway.
I do. It's sad news. It's good news. But our own Alicia Quibido, this will be her last show with us. This will be her last morning show.
She's had enough of me.
She has said, "You guys are crazy. I'm out of here." But Alicia, God bless her, Alicia, with her patience and her just all of her love for us and at Catholic Community Radio and her mission. She is, speaking of mission, she's going to be going over to with the good folks at FRANU, Franciscan University here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and moving on to bigger, greener pastures. She's going to be doing development direction over there. But I can tell you, Alicia, and I can't thank you enough, because Alicia was with us part-time doing a lot of work. You can't really say part-time, because she never works part-time. And she has done so much with us, with our helping with our fundraisers and all that we have done. And then, of course, the creation of Catholic Man Night came from Alicia, because she was so enamored with Men of the Immaculate and what that did. And she said, we need to keep this going. And so helped create Catholic Man Night. And that has become quite the annual event. And then, more importantly, in the year 2020, lots of things happened in 2020, and the world crashed around a lot of us here at the radio station. But Alicia was here, and you stepped in. You didn't know you were going to be a morning show host at all, but you were thrust behind a microphone just to keep things going. I can't thank you enough for that. I can't thank you for all of the things that you have done for us, because Alicia is not the type of person that comes in and says, "Well, this is my job, and I don't know what you're doing over there." Alicia handles, I mean, she takes out the garbage. Alicia fixes the coffee. Alicia does everything here at Catholic Community Radio. So it's one of those, holy cow, Alicia, when you leave, give me a long list of what you do so I can figure this out. You know, so it has been amazing. Alicia, I can't thank you enough for all the beautiful things that you have done for us here at the station, and you have, and where you have taken us as an apostolate.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's so interesting, reflecting back several years ago, I was invited to lunch with a friend, Glenn Galino, and he introduced me to this priest and two guys. And little did I know.
Y'all weren't in a bar, were you?
We were not. No.
Three guys in a bar.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Put them
on. Wow. Just making sure.
But little did I know that one of those people at that table would become one of my favorite people, Louis Prejean. Ah. So, and continue. That's just been a gift that has continued to give, you know, continue to be here and to have the opportunity to work with Louis. And then we all know, being a Lafayette girl, growing up in Lafayette and knowing the Damian Collado and how fancy he is, what a privilege it's been for me to be on the air with the Damian Collado.
Well,
so I appreciate your patience with me. I never get time cues. I can't pronounce saints' names right, but y'all have been kind to me, and I appreciate
you. You've been great. No, it's been a pleasure, and getting to know you when I first came here to Catholic Community Radio almost 2 years ago, I guess, maybe even a little longer now.
Longer, I think.
You know,
longer.
Started out, Jeff had taken ill, and I came in to just help Jeff out, and then next thing you know, Dave and you guys asked me to be part of the show, and that's how our friendship and working relationship got started. Any quick thoughts? What's one of the most memorable things that
I will tell you
are going to remember?
The most memorable thing will be visiting with Father Leo Battlingham.
Aha!
I'm just saying this.
What a segue!
I follow him on social media. He is a rock star, not only in our faith, but in the kitchen and
you
feeding
love to
the
be
poor.
In the kitchen.
And I love that. And so with that, whoa, Father Leo Padalinghug joins us. I would take up the whole segment if I told you all the amazing things about Father Leo, so let's just jump right in. Good morning, Father Leo.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. I don't know if you remember, we had you here before many years ago. You did one of our first fundraisers with Chef John Fulce in Baton Rouge at White Oak Estate. That's been a while.
I remember it well, incredibly well.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Father Leo, you do so much in our community. I wish we had time to talk about your all of the many things that you do, including your black belt martial arts and break dancing and throw down with Bobby Flay. But we need to jump right into your new book, Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to Righteous Feast. It is a companion most of us have on our shelves, Drinking with the Saints, right? All good Catholics have that book.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Foley has teamed up with Father Leo to write this new book, Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. Let's tell us all about it, Father Leo.
Yeah, it's a collaboration that I think really God put together, because it's been a pleasure to work with Dr. Foley and his knowledge of the saints and his ability to research. And then, of course, you know, my passion to connect food and to do the research on foods that were celebrated around what we call in the Catholic Church the cult of the saints, which doesn't mean that we're worshiping some weird God. No, we're just kind of honoring the saints through the food, through their local customs, through their local culture. And so it's been a labor of love, with over almost 200 recipes in this book that kind of goes throughout the year. And people are loving it because it's reminding them that you are supposed to invite holy people to your table so that we can become holy as well.
Absolutely. Wow. So there are stories of saints. So you can get to know the saints as you're preparing your meal and as you're sitting down to have your meal. And there are these all your original recipes, Father Leo?
Well, there's no such thing as an original recipe anymore, but yes, these are recipes that I've had to kind of sometimes adapt to make it fit in a more modern framework. You know, for example, who's going to be able to cook a haggis, you know, for the Feast of St. Mary Margaret of Scotland? So instead I made a haggis hash. I call it the Holy Haggis Hash. And so we try to use ingredients that can be accessible to the modern palate, and then as well as cooking techniques that would be adjusted. But it's all based off of tradition. And if there was not a particular recipe attributed to a saint, well, gosh darn it, we found one. We made one up to honor them based on their stories, based on where they came from, or something that was inspired by them. So it's been a labor of faithful love.
Okay, so one example would be Saint Benedict. There's a little eggs Benedict go along with Saint Benedict, right?
Absolutely. and so we have an eggs Benedict, but I think we do something a little bit different than just a traditional eggs Benedict. So we kind of give it a little bit more of a flair. You know, he is one of these great saints that everyone just automatically thinks of eggs Benedict. Yeah. But once you hear his story, there's just a little bit more to him. And you'll hear all about it when you get that book, because there are some incredibly unique stories, things that I didn't even know about, and that inspired the recipe.
That's amazing. Father Leo, where can our listeners go to find a copy of Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast?
It is everywhere. To be honest with you, you could get it at on Amazon. They have it at Target as an order, Barnes & Noble. And then you could even go to my website at platinggrace.com. But it's just wherever fine books are sold.
Wonderful. Platinggrace.com. I just wanted to mention, Father Leo, you are the founder of the Table Foundation, as well as the owner of Plating Grace and Grub Food Truck. So many wonderful things you're doing for those who have been incarcerated and those in need in our communities. Can you give us that website for the Table Foundation?
Oh, yeah. It's thetablefoundation.org, but it's all linked to my primary website, which is platinggrace.com.
Platinggrace.com. Wonderful. Be sure to check out that book, Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to the Righteous Feast. Father Leo, we just have a minute left. Could you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. May God continue to fill you with the hunger for his love, and in this Easter season, may you feast on his goodness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Father Leo Padalinghug, check him out on social media. Also follow him at platinggrace.org. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Father. Up next, David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau will join us. We'll talk about a marriage and family topic with Dave, as we usually do. But we'll get back just real quick. Damien asked me, that was a pleasure to talk to Father Leo. Love him. Enjoy following him on social media. But, you know, one of the things that I've enjoyed so much, really my sole job here is development, getting to know the donors, getting to know the folks that love Catholic radio so much. And also a big surprise for me, not only being on the air with the Damien Collado, has been figuring out that talk radio, Catholic talk radio, is one of my favorite stations.
Yes.
Who would have figured? Really, well, 8 years ago, I didn't listen to talk radio.
Is that right?
So, yep.
Okay, so by getting indoctrinated,
yes,
yeah, from
absolutely
behind the scenes, and then eventually doing it on air.
Yep,
look where you've come.
That's right. That's right. So many things I have learned by listening to Catholic radio.
I just want to say we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
Okay,
I miss you too.
And,
you're going to see me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm going to see you at Catholic band.
Well, yeah. Let's hope the relationship continues.
That's right.
Right. But anyway, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
FRANU.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're going to be a good addition.
Yep. To be part of the Wolf Pack at FRANU. So we'll stick around. We'll be back with David Dawson Jr. It's 1:30 the hour on Wake Up.
Twenty-five before the top of the hour on this Thursday morning. Thank you for joining us here at Wake Up. Damien Collado along with Alicia Quibido. And right now, David Dawson Jr., who is Director of the Office of Parish Support of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau, here today to talk about an interesting topic, to say the least, the tendencies to over-focus on news and politics versus under-focusing on your own family. And I could see where that can become an issue, Brother Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an issue for a lot of folks, and it's very easy for it to become an issue. It's one of those things, I think, especially for men, but for women too, we get caught into thinking that if I'm in the right belief system, if I'm in the right camp, if I know the right things, I know what should be done, then therefore I'm doing my job, you know. When the truth is, a lot of times it's like we're watching sports or, you know, like a martial arts movie, and we're like, you know what, I got the general principle. When it came down to it, I could probably, you know, make a difference. When the truth is, yeah, watching professional sports or these, you know, professional actors and that kind of thing, and we're nowhere near being able to make a difference. We're just sitting in our rear ends, out of shape on the couch, you know. And meanwhile, especially when it comes to news and politics, I think meanwhile, while we're kind of deceived into thinking that we're involved in important things. We're deceived into thinking that, like, because we know what's going on, we're somehow involved in these big kind of important, you know, world-changing national things, and we have to make sure we have the right opinions and that kind of thing. And we can get caught thinking that that's what gives us purpose, right? That's what makes us feel alive. When the truth is, we got people who are right here around us in our homes who are not receiving our attention. The only people really who are going to be affected by us in the deepest ways that gives us real purpose are kind of being neglected. And so I know I've seen this, especially with a lot of young dads, with a lot of young families. And it's certainly the case with women too. I think with moms, a lot of times it's more has to do with being connected with people who are not in my house. A lot of it has to do with phones and social networking and text groups and that kind of thing. But it has to do with, I think, where do we feel alive? And a lot of times the screens and the way that these things are produced, they're made to make us feel like this is where we belong. This is where we find our purpose. This is what makes us feel like we're contributing something to the world. And then the truth is we're just sitting there on our rear ends. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because you said this is sometimes where we feel we find our purpose. And
right,
it's one thing to get some news headlines, even if you spend 30 minutes of trying to obtain what's going on in the world, that's fine. But
sure,
turn the
sure
TV off and
yeah,
focus on your family. And I say that. I know with our children, when they were growing up, we wanted to make sure that they were the primary attention in the centers of our life. And we had playtime
right
and everything. When I got home, the TV wasn't on. And uh-huh. if they got to watch TV themselves mm-hmm. for about an hour or so, you mm-hmm. know, just for a form of entertainment, it's not like you don't turn it on ever. But uh-huh. you don't want it. The old saying it years ago when I was growing up, it was called the boob tube. But now you have access to that even on your phone. Kids have phones, which uh-huh. I'm amazed uh-huh. they shouldn't have them, in my opinion, uh-huh. Until a certain age. But I don't uh-huh. mean to get on a soapbox, but what I do mean is the fact that my daughter right now, watching my grandkids, they are not allowed, they meaning her and her husband, are not allowed to watch news, period. They don't want to hear yeah. about the killings. They don't want to hear.
Right.
Because the kids could be playing in the den
yes.
and the news could right. be on. And guess what? They're absorbing
yeah,
it.
They're hearing about it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's certainly, I mean, I think it's very difficult because there's a sense in which two things are happening. One is an adrenaline rush. That's why they report what they report, because it's an adrenaline rush, either fear mm-hmm. or a sense of pride, knowing that I've got the inside scoop, right? But there's yeah. also, I think, a sense of responsibility that a lot of people feel, that like I've got to make sure that I know what's going on so that I'm ready when the time comes to whatever. When the truth is, there's for most of us, that time's never going to come. We're not going to be involved. We're going to need to know what we need to know to vote responsibly, but I don't need to be connected 24/7 to be able to vote responsibly. Mm-hmm. So my contribution to these things is absolutely minimal. But I feel like a lot of times, and this is where I think, you know, when it comes to both politics, news, politics within the church, a lot of Catholic men tend to fall into this. Like, I've got to make sure that I'm up on things so that I'm leading my family well. And the truth is, we're not leading our families at all. Mm-hmm. We're continuing to kind of chase this rabbit, you know, when we're constantly behind the eight ball, trying to make sure we're up on things, and it's never going to happen. We're never going to be up on things enough because we're not actually involved. So when it comes down to it, I mean, what's necessary is what my connection to the God of the universe and how that's pouring into my family. And that's hard, and it's a whole lot harder to pour myself into my family and be present to everybody here in my house than it is to be caught up on what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier. I mean, you know, to be caught up on what's going on, even like with LSU football or something like that, like it's so much mm-hmm. easier to feel like I'm doing something because I'm actually living vicariously through people who are doing something on a field or in an office, you know, or whatever. So it's a tough trap, and it's very, yeah. I will also say this, I have a lot of compassion. It's tough to get out of that trap.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the age of the children. Once yes. they get to a teenage yeah. level, they should be attuned and become aware of what's going on in the world. You know, the good, the bad, and sports, politics. But yeah. you got to be careful that yeah. it doesn't, you don't become consumed with it. Well, and discussions are good.
Well, I find it difficult when things happen, when your children get to a certain age. What is that age that you tell them when these horrific crimes that happen in schools? Yeah. That was one that when my children were in middle school, there was the yeah, Sandy Hook. And it's very difficult to know, you know, one of my daughter's right. classmates' parents let her watch the entire newscast. And we weren't yeah. sharing with our children, afraid. You know, so it's just yeah. an interesting, how much do you inform your children and how much do you
well,
hold
yeah.
back?
Dave,
that's a tough balance. It
what would you tell a parent? I mean, 12, 13, yeah. 14 years old?
You know, I think part of it has to do with the nature of the event. Is it something that's going to be continually discussed wherever they are, mm-hmm. if they're in school or if they're in groups or whatever? Like, is it something that they're going to be having to hear about? And if so, I'd rather them hear about it from me first so I can give
true.
Them the right. proper perspective.
Very
so
good,
if that's
yeah.
the case, I need to be able to prep them before that happens. If it's something that, like, in their friend groups and that kind of thing, they're not going to be talking about a whole lot, or it's not necessary for them to be talking about a whole lot, mm-hmm. there's no need. There's
right.
no need to dig into that. And certainly no need to expose them to the way that the news channels are going to be reporting.
But what happens?
It's going to be sensational.
What happens if the schools are indoctrinating them at a young age? The transgender stuff that's going
that's
on
right.
out there, and you name
yeah.
it. What happens then?
Yeah,
the
no.
kid comes home, maybe doesn't even have a discussion with the parents, and the parents don't
sure.
even. All the more reason. So you say news and politics. Let's not forget education.
Yeah. That's right, and that's honestly, I think, a lot of times the worldview is shaped by education, which is, as parents, especially these days, it's extremely important for us to know that our role is not just keeping them alive mm-hmm. and keeping them socially acceptable, you know, because that's a lot of times what it boils down to, because we're busy with our own stuff, that we're just keeping them alive and keeping them from looking stupid in front of everybody else. It's very easy to fall into that trap. when the truth is, there's so much more. I mean, their education, how they understand the world, is going to come from us, whether we like it or not, whether we're trying to or not. That's where they're going to learn how to see the world. And if there's all these things going on and they're not hearing it from us, the assumption is that we agree with it or that we don't care. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to be communicated, is that we're on board. Otherwise, we'd have said something. And if we don't say anything, or just the conversation doesn't happen, the assumption is that we're part of the problem, you know, or that we're part of that messaging. Yeah.
Yeah. In the final 30 seconds or so, what are some of the things the parents can be aware of and do? In other words, what can they do with their family to focus on and versus TV?
Truth is, it's going to have to be like having fun, to see us having fun together. To recognize that I'm prioritizing them over being caught up on things, which means, for me, it means the phone's in the back when I get home and I'm not checking it, which is hard. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like maybe I'm missing something or I'm missing out on things that are important. And the truth is, it's so thin. I'm not missing out on anything, but there's just this, it's a chemical reaction in my brain that says there's something there that I'm missing out on. Mm-hmm. And so it's not actually the truth. It's just a chemical response to the screen. So If I can break that, I'll be doing much better for my kids.
Well, there you go. Let's hope we become aware of that. And thank you for making us aware of that. David Dawson Jr., Director of Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Speaking of awareness, Ian Murphy is going to be our next guest, and he's going to talk about his book, The Road to Self-Awareness, here on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 48 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. We're joined this segment by Ian Murphy. Ian is a Catholic author and speaker, and he has a new book called The Road to Self-Awareness. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Alicia. It's so great to be on the program. Thanks for this chance to talk about the book. Well, I appreciate you.
We are so happy to have you with us. You know, it's interesting, I guess, if you go into a bookstore, if people still do that these days, right? Or even if you go online to Amazon, there are so many self-help books out there. But Ian, yours is so different. Tell us why.
I always wanted to write one because I ran into the problematic world of quick fixes and what self-help promises but then can't deliver. Mm-hmm. One of the titles I was considering for this book originally was How Thomas Aquinas Helped Me Lose Over 100 pounds.
Wow.
But as I got into it, I realized this isn't just about weight loss or my own personal victory by God's grace from gluttony and from, you know, obesity as a consequence of gluttony. This was for anyone stuck in any vice. This was I remember trying one diet after the next, right? And just hitting a brick wall. I would lose weight only to gain it all back, only to gain it all back. Mm-hmm. And then as the Catholic Church, it was my time in RCIA, showed me this bigger picture that all of these quick fixes, they were leaving the most important counselor out of it. They did never attend to God.
Wow.
They were leaving out body-soul unity. They would tell all these exercises to do with my body, but never the why. It was what the problem I was saved from, not the happiness I was saved for. It was this Pelagian error that I could save myself through my own power. And rather than this radical dependency on a Heavenly Father, and He's the one saving me, He's the one whose grace is sufficient. And what does that look like? And so the more I saw that, you know, these things make big promises, but these quick fixes, all they do in the end is maybe try to avoid suffering or manage symptoms or alleviate pain, but none of them bring a prosperous life. None of them bring flourishing. I'm just a problem to be solved at best, and they can't even solve the problem. So what would a therapy book for Christians look like? What would happen if you integrated body-soul unity, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of sacramental grace back into the picture, And so, you know, step by step, how does a stuck person get unstuck? Whether it's gluttony or a toxic relationship or misspent energy or anxiety or addiction, whatever it is for them, what does that look like as the great physician works his magic? And so that's this book. It is that step by step, this is what it looks like.
That is beautiful. You know, it's so interesting listening to you talk. It seems like, you know, we all do want that quick fix, and we want to figure, you know, the self-help, fix it ourselves, right? But I love that you got to the point that you realized it's not just you against the world, right? It's not just you against whatever your vice may be. To realize that we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and how we can bring God into it and lean on Him for help.
Amen. And He wants to. And healing, true healing, not just from a problem, but for life, for His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, you know, for that heavenly glimpse that's available now that prepares us for perfect happiness forever with Him, with beatific vision that we get to look forward to this whole time, but he's with us now. You know, you nailed it, that this starts with Him. It doesn't mm-hmm. start with us. It starts with God. And the fact that where we come in is that we were created in God's image. That means we're relational, because God's a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect love. That's a community of being, as the theologians call it. It's a friendship. It's a relationship. We're made in love's image. So we are fundamentally relational creatures from the get-go. So there is no way we can heal if we're trying that on our own steam. It starts with turning in radical dependency, that humility, that I need my Heavenly Father. You know, the original lie was that we can't trust Him, and that is a lie.
Right.
He has what we need. He wants to heal us. And when we start there, we see that He is there to provide what we need. And like, I feel like Peter, but it's impossible to heal. You know, what you ask,
yes.
Says, but with me, nothing is.
That's right.
And I started to see firsthand the transformation He's capable of, and that it is real. What He offers is real. He truly is a great physician. He truly is a counselor. And you know, not just a ticket to the afterlife, no, He is saving us in every aspect of our body, soul, unity from the moment we meet Him.
Wow. We're visiting with Ian Murphy. He's a Catholic author and speaker, and he's talking about his new book, The Road to Self-Awareness. Ian, I think we could talk to you the whole hour. What an amazing journey you've been on, and what amazing gift you're sharing. Can you talk us just real quick through the book and how it's laid out, and how it's not just a weight loss journey. It is for anyone who is suffering with some kind of vice, and how you can lean on our Lord to overcome that. So talk us through just real quickly how the book is laid out.
Oh, thank you. What a great question. Yeah, it's it opens, each chapter opens with the next episode in my weight loss journey. But then the chapter moves into a discussion of the healing concepts that part of my own repentance brings to light. For example, I talk about trying these failed diets and exercise regimes that just, I would gain all the weight back. And so then I discuss what was missing from those. Why was I gaining the weight back? And then after that discussion of the concepts, it moves into a practical application where the concepts are applied across the board, again, whether it's anxiety or a toxic relationship or some misspent energy or just being in a funk that a person can't seem to get out of. What do those concepts look like for you? And what do these healing steps look like for you? So this would be as good for a personal devotional as it would be for a book club or a formation program. to just work through the book. It is laid out in such a way that by giving the narrative and then moving into the discussion and then moving into the practical application, applying the concepts across the board.
Wonderful. Ian, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. We're out of time.
We'd
love to visit with you longer. Ian Murphy, The Road to Self-Awareness. You can find it at sophiainstitute.com. Such a pleasure visiting with you this morning, Ian. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Wow, sounds like
awesome.
A great book.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's a prayer to wrap up our day and bid Alicia farewell at the same time. Sweet. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you are the source of all life because you are life itself. Your resurrection gives me the hope of being raised from the dead to rejoice with you in heaven forever. I need to reflect more often on the good you have done for us and on your promises to those who put their trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Join Gabby and Damian tomorrow. They've got some great guests. They'll talk about events in the area, and you'll hear about a new film and so much more. Have a blessed day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.